I just release God's blessing, you know, upon you. And you say, well, we're blessed. Everybody's blessed. But, you know, there are special blessings that are given. You know, someone says, we're all blessed. That's true. We don't deny that. How come if we're all blessed, we all don't have an abundance in the bank right now? We're all blessed. The blessing is released to us. However, there are certain things that we do in order to get those blessings to be experienced in our lives. It's not that, you know, we pray and we ask God to do. God heal. Well, what else is he going to do? He already sent his son. Isn't that true? What is there that God has not given to his family? Huh? Well, then if everything is automatic, then we would automatically have everything. Say yes. And we don't automatically have everything because there is a process involved. I want to talk to you today about, I gave this topic, it's called the place of release. The place of release. Now, while I'm sharing, if you got the CD and you saw the title, A Place of Release, and then you listened to the message, then you may want to figure out what does the message have to do with the title. Because I have a title in mind, and there's a place I want to get to, and a lot of times I don't get to it in one session. You know, so I share over the period of time, I would share, so the one statement or title, you know, usually goes on for weeks. And if I don't explain that to you, you know, then you know, you might get the CD and say, well, a place of release, what's that talking about? I didn't get that from the message. So bear with me as I try to explain. Now, you remember that I've said before that my job is to get the word, and sometimes I try to explain the word. I explain it based on what God is saying and doing and dealing with me. When he deals with me, you know, I try to explain the word. However, since there is only one teacher, and that is the Holy Spirit, it's only the Holy Spirit that can take the word of God and give you a revelation of that word. Okay, so you may hear an explanation, you know, but to get a revelation, it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. So men can preach everywhere, and yet there could be no change. Men can explain things, and yet there could be no change. So where the Holy Spirit is not present to bring revelation to you. See, that's why even in a service, you know, in a congregation, you could have 500 people, and you know, the word of God comes forward, and out of the 500 people, you know, maybe 50 are blessed, and they receive, and they're moved, you know, and then, you know, the others just say, well, I don't know what they're getting so excited about. You know, there's nothing to be excited about. See, because it all depends on the working of the Holy Spirit that is in your personal life. I love that because it takes all of us ministers off the hook. It leaves only you and the Holy Spirit. Say yes. Because I've seen it. I've seen where you have two people. The message goes forward. Same message, same environment, same place, same person speaking. Two people hear it, and then one person responds. The other person does not. So I'm about to share some things with you. Remember, I'm talking about the place of release. And everything that I share with you is going to be something that I'm building upon from the previous lessons. So that's how I share. That's what I teach. That's how God has directed me to do things. So if you hear off and on and stuff like that, you may not be able to pick everything up, you know, but you will get at least what the Holy Spirit, that you allow the Holy Spirit to give to you for this moment. All right? But remember, that's the way that, I share. Now, there are three things that God, or three words that I want to express that God always mentions or deals with when he's dealing and communicating with his people. Three words. I have them written down here. The word is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And when we talk about knowledge, what I'm doing here, when I take this Bible and I'm saying things, I am giving you knowledge, which simply means I'm giving you information. Okay, so knowledge really is dealing with information. Then, from that information, you have to basically understand that information. If you don't understand or comprehend that information, then it's not going to work for you. If you don't understand it, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The enemy is going to come, and he's going to take that away from you. I'll show it to you in the Word of God. Okay? And the third thing, of course, is that is wisdom, and wisdom has to do with application. Wisdom has to do with application. You could have the word, and you can hear an explanation, and you can say, well, I understand that, but if there is no application, then it will not work on your behalf. So whenever God speaks to us, he speaks to us, he communicates with his people with knowledge, information, understanding, comprehension, and wisdom, application. Now, that also works in reverse. It works that way, and then it works the other way in a complete cycle in order for there to be a, what I would call a release of what was, of that information that was declared. Did you get that? You have knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and that is, the cycle takes place. You have wisdom, then you have knowledge and understanding again. And it's a complete cycle. Now, when that cycle is completed, then there's a release in our lives. When the cycle is completed. If the cycle is not completed, there is no release. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the place of release. Now, when Jesus spoke, and all of that I'm saying, you've already heard most of it. Okay? As I said, we just try and build upon what we have already said. Okay? Now, when Jesus spoke, he used what we called parabolic language. We talked about that before. He used parabolic language. In dealing with parabolic language, we pointed out to you, it was found in Matthew chapter 13. If you turn there with me, Matthew chapter 13. Now, we mentioned before that parabolic language, parabolic meanings from parables, he spoke in parables, and we call that parabolic language. And we shared with you before that parabolic language is where you hide truth from the listener. You hide truth from the listener. In other words, here I am speaking to you, and if I was to speak to you in parabolic language, I'll be speaking a parable, but the reason why I would be speaking that parable is because I am going to be hiding truth. This seems like a paradox, right? It doesn't really make sense. If I'm going to be speaking to you, then why would I give you language and I hide the truth from you? See, it seems like a paradox. But there must be understanding here. Jesus did that. His disciples came to him and asked him, why are you teaching the people in parabolic language, in parables. Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus went on to express to them why he spoke to them in parables. Right? And we spoke about the word disciple, and I told you before that the word disciple means student. Disciple means student. It's not a religious word. Okay? It means student. And a student is usually one who pays tuition, who spends time. Are you a student? Then you have to spend time, you spend money, you pay tuition. And the reason why we do that is because a student is really one who is interested in the subject that is being presented. So you have students, and then, or disciples, and then you have those who are not really interested, but are really looking to be entertained. Right? So you can have a person who is listening, and that person wants to be entertained, while you have a student, and the student is virtually interested in what is being presented. Now, the disciple is the student. The general hearer, he's the one who is just interested. And not interested, is just looking to be entertained, not really interested in the truth. So the listener, or the speaker, or the teacher, the master teacher, the one who's sharing, when that person is presenting, he's not presenting for the whole multitude. Not at that particular point in time. However, his desire is for the whole multitude to get what is being said. So what he does, he hides the truth in this parabolic language so that those who are really interested would be able to press in and get a hold of that truth. That's what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus said, you know, when they ask him, why do you speak in parabolic language? He says, because seeing, they would see, but not really perceive. Hearing, they would hear, but not really understand. Lest they see and hear and turn and be converted. You remember that? That's it. That's in, you can find it in Matthew 13. He spoke in parabolic language. Because for those of you who do math and like math in school, you know, and you did the subject and the topic of logic, right? You know, in logic, when you deal with conditionals, a conditional, you have an if and a then, right? If this, then that, right? If this, then that. And we call the if part, we call it either the premise or the hypothesis or the antecedent. And then the then part we call the conclusion or the consequent, right? So those are the students that are here that know about that. They, you know, you have a premise and then you have a consequent or a conclusion. That's called logic. If this, then that, right? If this, then that. So everything is based basically on a premise. You with me here? Stay with me a minute. Okay, this is important for us to understand the things that God actually wants to share with us. There is a premise. Now, here is a premise I want to give to you. Nothing is yours until you discover it. Nothing is yours until you discover it. In other words, it does not matter how much information, knowledge that your teacher has. Nothing is yours until you discover it. That's why church is the way church is. You see, because you can have a whole multitude of people that go to church, but some of them are just basically looking to be entertained. The true disciple is the one who is the student who is looking, who is very interested in the truth. And the way how God puts it, nothing is yours until you discover it. So he's going to speak to you in parabolic language until, so it can separate you from being and one who's looking to be entertained and then from one who is looking, who is really interested in the truth. We have that in church all the time. That's why people can find church boring. I find there are individuals who come to me and who talk to me, and all they want to do is really get into the Word to discuss something that is in the Word. Now, not for discussion to prove somebody wrong, but for discussion to get change. Are you with me? I'll explain that in a moment, see? You see, because yes, Lord, because, you know, we say certain things, and we declare certain things, and a lot of the things that we say and declare from the Word of God, most of it is not understood. For example, we declare that you are righteous, don't we? And we say, you are righteous. You've got to look into the Word of God. When you read the epistles, you would see the apostles saying that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, how many of you here believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ? Just wave your hand. Wonderful. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. However, some people don't quite understand what that means. And when you don't understand what it means, then what you do is that you begin to come up with other scripture verses and different things that seem to contradict what is being said. But remember that there is no private interpretation to the Word of God, so there is really no contradiction. But until you become an interested learner, a student, you will not be able to get the truth of what God is saying. Are you with me? That's why the Bible speaks to us all the time about the Word. And we can tell, because some of us take the Word as this casual thing that we do. You know, we pick and choose the parts that we want to obey and not obey. The parts that we want to do and we don't want to do. We choose most of the times the parts that entertain us, that keeps us entertained, rather than to bring us to a place of truth where we can have a divine release of the very life and power of God flowing out and through us. Are you with me here? Stay with me a little while. So when we say that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, then we come to a quote-unquote, what we call a contradiction. Because we say, well, if I am righteous, then why don't I live righteous? Because the Bible says that he who does righteousness is righteous. Did you ever read that? I don't have to go and show it to you, right? That's your whole book. You go home and look for it. If you do righteousness, then you're righteous. And then we have a confusion now. I thought you said that we are righteous. And if we are righteous, why must we do righteousness? Or what does it mean to do righteousness? And so there's confusion. And people come up with confusion. And it's very simple to find out exactly what God means. It's very, very simple. There are a couple of requirements. The first requirement is that you be a student. So how do you become a student? This is what he said. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my student. Then are you my disciple. You are really my disciple. You are a real student. You are one who you are ready, you are interested in the truth. And that means that if you are interested in the truth, you have been brought to a place now where you are ready for truth. So you are ready for this parabolic language to be made plain to you. The Holy Spirit now is ready to be involved with you and to give you right interpretation, right understanding, and to take you to the place where you can see a release of that word that is stated. Are you with me? Stay with me just a little while longer. So, see, we understand that we are righteous. However, let me see if I can explain what I want to say. I need help. If Jesus did not speak to these people in parables, then he would have compromised his integrity. If Jesus did not speak to the multitude in parables or parabolic language, then he would have compromised his integrity. Now, see, I say that, you say, what does that mean? If you don't understand the word integrity, then you're going to have a problem with what I'm saying. Now, the word integrity is the word holy. The word integrity is the word holy. The word integrity is where we get that word integrated from. So when we talk about being holy, what we're really talking about is being integrated. Now, what is being integrated? Now listen, this is what is integrated. What you say and what you do and what you mean and what you are, when those are integrated, that is what holy means. I'll say that again. We're talking about integrated. That word holy means integrated. And what it means is that what you say and what you do and what you mean and what you are, they're all integrated together, and that is what holiness is. Now, when Jesus spoke in parabolic language, he could not assume, now listen to me carefully, he could not assume that his hearers were interested. Now listen to this. If Jesus did not speak to them in parabolic language, Jesus would have assumed or would be assuming that they were interested in his truth. He could not compromise his integrity by being presumptuous. He could not assume that. So instead, what he did, he took the truth and he hid the truth in what we call the parabolic language. He hid the truth so that the listener, when that listener is really ready, that listener can then go and get that truth. But it's hidden there in the word. He would not compromise his integrity, because then he would have been accused of giving truth to someone who doesn't want it. And if I'm trying to give you truth that you don't want, then I'm being presumptuous. I won't cast my pearls before swine. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus could not compromise his integrity. Therefore, he spoke in parabolic language. And those who were ready to hear they were the ones who heard. Because when the disciples came to him, disciples means interested. Now, why were they considered interested? Why were they considered the people who were not just looking to be entertained? Because they paid the tuition, so to speak. In other words, they gave up everything. They left where they were and they followed him. They left what they had. They followed him. They were paying the tuition, so to speak. We don't have that in church. We have people who want to be entertained. We don't have people who are going to forsake everything. As long as it's comfortable to me and convenient to me, I'm ready to do it. But if it's going to cost me a little skin off my teeth, so to speak, you may not know that expression, but if it's going to cost me something, then, I've got stuff to do, and I've got this to do, and I've got that to do. And, well, I don't think that I'm going to get anything from you today, so I'm not coming today, and all that type of stuff. You see, the student is the one who determines what is taught, not the teacher. Oh, Jesus, help us. Please help us. We're praying for understanding. That's what we're praying for. We want to know. You and I, students, we want to understand the mind of God, why he does what he does the way he does it. See, because we want to be in line with him and everything that he does. We're not here to play. There may be some who are here to be entertained, but we're not here to be entertained. We are here for truth. We want to find out. We want to get the heart and the mind of our King. We want to know what his kingdom is all about. And we want to be able to present that and to present ourselves so that he could use us for his glory. That's a disciple. We're not looking to be entertained. So if the music is not good, that doesn't deter me. So if Johnny or Freddie or Suzanne, if that's any of your names, nope. Nothing personal. If they are not doing it, then it doesn't matter. I know what I'm called for. I know who I am. I know what I want. I know where I'm going. And that's the bottom line. Because Susie and Freddie and those people will not stand before my King. I will. Hey, we're just separating those who want to be entertained from those who want to be students. Jesus puts it this way. Those who are disciples, those who want to hear and turn from those who just want to hear but don't perceive and continue in their way. Stay with me, please. The student determines the lesson. Jesus puts it this way. John 16, he said to the disciples, he said, guys, I have so much to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You can't bear it now. Why? Because you're not at the place where you would be interested enough to get that piece of information. That's why it takes a specific time for the person to be in the place where that person is ready to receive the truth of God. Everyone is not at the same level. Everyone does not have the same level of interest. See, some people are ready to put everything away and to forsake the world and whatever. Other people are not ready to do that. So we go through motions. We go through motions. We look for certain things to entertain us. And those of us who have better understanding has to be like our big brother Jesus, who understood the levels of people, where they were, and had to bear with it. And while others are looking, even from the natural carnal perspective, and they think that you are literally compromising, or that you are allowing all this stuff to go on, yet when you know stuff, you know, and the Spirit of God is dealing with you and speaking to you, that you've got to learn and study to be quiet. You've read that before in the Bible? Study to be quiet. Because everybody knows what your responsibility is. Everybody knows what you should be doing, where you should be, what you should be. Everybody knows that. But you see, it doesn't matter what they know or what they think they know. All that matters is what you know and where you are with your God. Because the bottom line is that none of them are going to stand before God for you. And nobody's going to say, well, I was going to do that, Lord, but she didn't do it. So I just, you know, so if she wasn't going to do it, then I didn't do it. So, you know, because why would I do it and she's not doing it? It's not going to get done anyway. It's just like the man who had the 5 talents and the 3 talents and the 2 talents and the 1 talent. And the one who had the 1 talent says, well, I know you were a hard taskmaster. So I took your money and I buried it. Now it's time for me to give it back to you. Here it is. See, I did what I felt was right. At least I'm giving you back what you gave me. He said, you slothful servant. Why didn't you take my money and put it in the bank, let it get some interest? So my walk with God, listen to me, does not depend on Sister Barbara. Doesn't depend on Michelle or Cassandra, Curtis or Karina. My walk with God depends on me. Between me and my King. Doesn't depend on you. You go left. I don't want you to go left. I want you to go right. But you go left. You know, that don't mean that I'm going to come left following you. I got to be anchored. Know where I'm going. So when Mr. Evangelist or Mr. Pastor goes out and lives a life that is exposed in the newspaper, that it doesn't cause me to stop giving. I'm not going to give anymore. I'm not going to give that ministry. I'm not even going to give. So whenever any of these things happen, the giving in the church usually drops tremendously. The giving in the churches drop tremendously. Why? Because so-and-so was found sleeping with another woman, and she wasn't his wife, and he's up there preaching to me. If he wants to split hell wide open, let him. But I have to answer for me. And when I give, I'm giving because of what's happening with me and my King. Because what he's directing me to do. Oh, help me, Lord. I'm going in a different direction right there. Pull me back here. Pull me back. Help me. I'm trying to get to a place of release. A place that we need to understand. Let me see if I can get back on track. Okay. Look at... I told you to find Matthew chapter 13, right? I've been talking all around it. I should be pointing out the scripture verses anyway. Look at Matthew 13, verse 10. Help me, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. Somebody read verse 10 for me, real loudly. Okay, so he was actually quoting an Old Testament scripture. He was quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And he was saying that, usually you have a master teacher, okay? And the master teacher basically is the one who has, he's an expert in his field or in the field of knowledge. The master teacher, he's the expert in the field of knowledge, right? Okay, who is your master teacher? The Holy Spirit. He is your master teacher. He's my master teacher. He's our master teacher. He is the one who has the right interpretation. He is the one who can reveal the truth to us. He is the one that will show us what the stuff really means and to take us into a place where now we can literally begin to walk that thing out. He is the one that does that with us, to us, and through us. Right? Remember, it is not your, it's not your ability, it's not my ability, it's simply the grace or the ability of God. That's what grace is, God's ability. It's simply, it's God's grace and ability working in and through us to do His will joyfully. Right? That's what grace is, right? So it's God working in and through us. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is coming to give us that understanding. Now, if you are not in the place where He becomes your or my master teacher, if we're not in that place, we're just in the place of being wanting to be entertained, not really interested in the truth, then there is a problem. You with me? Yes, Lord. The master teacher is the Holy Spirit. And He is the one who is going to reveal the stuff to us. For example, when we come to a place and we read the scripture that says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, but you don't quite understand that righteousness is not holiness. Righteousness is a gift that's given to us. But as we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to, by His ability, to work that righteous standard within us, then obviously our standard becomes one of holiness. Because what happens is that which we are declaring, what we're looking at, what we're musing upon, what we're meditating upon, that thing is taken now by the Spirit of God, and He begins to work that in us so that what we say and what we do and what we are and what we mean is integrated and we become holy. So when you first receive the word and you look at it and you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Many times we are not in the place where we really know that. So the Holy Spirit has to be involved. He gets involved. He begins to work with us. Get us to a place where we are really desiring to be students. Not just entertained. The music is nice. This is nice. That's good. Oh, all that other stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a place where even when the music stops and when the people and the crowd is not there anymore, you know how to be silent before your God in a personal place, in a private place, in Him, with Him, so that He, by His Spirit, can begin to work this stuff in and through you. That's a student. That's not someone who's looking to be entertained. That's someone who's ready to move to the next level. You wonder why we pray and we pray and we pray and we're not seeing the things that we're praying for, or we speak what the word says and we're not seeing what we have spoken. We see them in drips and drabs here and there. But I'm telling you, what is happening is God is bringing us to a place where we are really going to be true disciples. We're really going to be integrated. In other words, what we say is what we live, what we are, what we speak, what we mean. There's no confusion. Now they can say they are holy. Not because they're saying I'm holy, but because they live it. Because they're moving everything they say. Their integrity, they are integrated with all the truth of God. What they are is what they say, is what they mean, is what they do. You with me? So though we declare I am the righteousness of God in Christ, that righteousness must be born out in holiness. That's who I am. That's how I live. What I say, I mean. My word means something. So when I say to you, I'll meet you on Friday, then on Friday, I will meet you. You see, there's a cycle that's taking place. There's a cycle that's taking place. How many times we say things, and then we just say, yeah, well, I was going to come, but, you know, I just didn't feel like. Or, you know, well, this happened, and, you know. And our word never really lines up with who we really are or what we really said. Come on, talk to me. The body of Christ, we are filled with that stuff. Now, This is not a put down. This is just a point of information so we can understand that we are not really where we think we really are. You'd be surprised how some believers cuss out one another. I'm serious. You would be surprised. Because I've learned over the years never to be surprised at anything. I've learned basically what it is to, you know, I do counseling. And, you know, in my counseling, my training, they said to you, when you're counseling and you talk and people are talking to you, and usually when they come to you, the first thing they do is they tell you their story. So you have to help them tell their story. And when you're helping them tell their story, you know, do not have any looks of surprise when you're helping them tell their story. Because especially when you have a couple, and say the couple, you know, now these are folks that, you know, basically we see in church a lot and stuff like that, you know. And then, you know, they start talking, and then, you know, once they kind of, the guards are let down, and, you know, they feel a little comfortable with you, the counselor, then they start talking freely. And then you begin to realize the kind of stuff that they say to one another. And now you have to sit there and not be shocked. Sometimes I can't imagine me saying that stuff to my enemy, much less my husband or my wife. Well, they just got angry. And when they got angry, they just said what they said. Well, I didn't really mean that. I just said it because I was angry. Oh, yeah? Well, see, what was in the mind, what was controlling the emotions, that is what came out at that time. Because that is what was in abundance in the heart. That was what was in control in the heart at that time. That's why people say what they say. Could you imagine brothers and sisters not being able to get along? I'm talking about family. I can understand the family in the world because they don't have the kind of stuff that we have. But I'm talking about family. I could see me cussing out Sister Jackie because she didn't do something I really wanted done in the office, you know. And I, listen, if you want to be my blankety blank administrator, don't blankety blank blank do all that stuff. Get right. I could see me doing that, right? But husbands and wives talk like that to each other. Now, you know, I don't want you going scrutinizing, saying, let me see who went to him for counseling. Maybe it's them in the church. I have people that are outside of the church that I counsel. When I say outside of church, I mean the local church. See, I know folks, you know, because some folks are probably sitting down there figuring out, let me, who's that? Who's that? So I don't want you to get into that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, you know, what we're looking at getting to a place where you can be holy. Being holy is where you become integrated, or what you say becomes integrated with what you mean, becomes integrated with what you are, becomes integrated with what you do. When that comes, that is the point and the place where there comes a release. That is the place where folks can look at you and not just say you are righteous because the Bible says you are righteous. They say you are righteous because you demonstrate the holy life that a righteous person will demonstrate. It's a process that takes place. And you and I have to be students wanting to get there. We want to please God so much that we want to get to that place of holiness. We want to flow and function in that place of holiness. So we are not just satisfied to declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I want to go to the next level. I want to get those things integrated. So now it's not just I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't even have to say it anymore. Because you look at me and you see a righteous life that will bring forth holy action. Are you with me? But a lot of the church, the folks, that's why we don't understand the mysteries. A mystery is just a hidden truth. It's hidden in the word for you and me when we are ready. You are not going to get ready. I'm not going to get ready until I am serious about wanting truth. I am interested in truth. I'm interested in understanding what God is saying with His word by His Spirit. That's the type of students. That's why Jesus had 12 disciples. And even one of them was the devil. That's why it's not always found in the multitude. Sometimes we anticipate things and we look at things because of the crowd. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm interested in the crowd. See, because a crowd shows something's happening. Hello? So we are interested in crowds. But I am just as interested in students. Jesus was interested in students. Go into all the world and make students. Didn't say go into all the world and make converts. He says go into all the world and make students. So he gets excited when he sees a man or a woman of God who are so interested in truth, interested in what God is saying, what God is doing, that they are going to spend all their time focusing on the things that would help them to understand that. God is pleased with that. He says, see that person continuing in my word? Really a disciple. A disciple indeed. John 8:30, 31, 29, 30, 31, 32. You continue in my word, then are you really my disciples. Continue. What do you mean continue? Continue to keep it before your eyes. Continue to keep it before your eyes. Continue. As you begin to do that, as you continue to do that, as you continue to give the Holy Spirit place, and you begin to show Him that, listen, I am interested. You know what? You know, let me talk about you for a minute. Can I talk about you for a minute? Have you ever studied something, and then after a period of X amount of years, then you say, this is what this means to me. This is what I understand by this. Have you done that? How come you didn't understand it and you were doing it or sitting around it or listening to it for 15 years? What does that mean? If you've been studying it and listening to it and meditating on it and musing upon it and all that stuff for 15 years, then you would figure that, I mean, way before that 15 years, something should have taken place. How come after 15 years, you are just saying, this is what this means to me? Are you telling me that for the 15 years, you were just really looking to be entertained? You weren't really interested in being a student? I found some stuff that I've been studying for over 20 years. And I found out that I just understood what it meant. So all that time, I guess I was just looking to be entertained. No? You disagree? Why? I'm not asking for your answers, really. I'm just talking out loud. Yeah, you disagree? Why? You know, I'm just talking out loud. Because, you know, let me take a couple minutes and get some of your opinions. Just a couple minutes. I'm going to, so don't be long-winded. I'm just going to cut you off if you are. All right. So, tell me what, respond to that statement. Yes? Yeah, but why? Why wouldn't we grasp it, Ryder? So after 35 years, the light bulb, only she's being submissive now? After 35 years? Okay, see, so there's a little, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if I studied something for, say, for 15 years, that's what I said before, right? If I studied something for 15 years, I'm not talking that every year or every time I go on, there could be more light and revelation to what I'm seeing. See, because that's how we live. You know, we get further light and revelation as we move on with things with God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about after 15 years that I never got any understanding. And suddenly one day after 15 years, I got the understanding of this thing. Are you with me? Okay. Do you follow me? Why are you looking so mummified? Wait, let me see. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right. A couple more minutes. I'll entertain a couple more answers. Yes. Now make it short, okay? Yes. Let me get some other hands. Yes. You've been saying it all the time. But suddenly, you know, not just saying it, when you began to, you know, you're following what it's saying. It says forgive. So yeah, you can say that, you could recite that all your life. But if one day you begin to forgive, you know, then of course, because you're doing that, you're integrating what you are saying with that action, you know, then to you there'll be more understanding. That's true too. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, let me take two more, and then I'm going to stop. Two more. Yes. So you were taught some things that were some righteous things from the Word of God, but you didn't respond to it because you were just looking to be entertained. Okay. All right. Okay. You'll be the last one. Go ahead. All right. Very good point. If you don't have, remember we talk about those things, right? For example, we talked about being righteous. And everybody in here, if you've been here for the past, even the past 6 weeks, you've heard me say over and over that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And not only have you heard that, but we told you where you could find it in 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 21, 22. So you have heard that, so you know that we say that, right? So, however, if I been saying that and you've been hearing it, now if you are not really, and don't get offended, if you're not really interested in the truth, because that statement is a statement of truth, if you're not really interested in the statement and you're just simply looking to be entertained, then you will not have the other ingredients that are necessary to allow you to move from that point of saying, I am righteous, to a point where you are doing what righteousness is, to the point of meaning what you say when you say that you are righteous, and to the point of actually saying that I am, because I am, I are righteous. Say that, I are righteous. We know you don't say that. I'm just trying to be funny. Drive a point home that you are what you say, what you mean, what you do. So it all boils down to what Jesus is saying. He says, that's why people hear, but they don't change. And even what they hear is taken from them. How is it taken from them? The enemy comes and he steals. Because if you keep saying, I'm righteous, I am righteous, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and that's all you are doing, you know, you're not interested in actually what the truth is, in getting down to the heart of that. If you're not interested, then the enemy is going to come and he's going to take that away from you. That's what it says it right there. It says, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom and understands it not, Satan comes and steals that. So what you have is taken from you. There's a lack of interest. Do you remember when we talk about the message about being either hot or cold? See, but if you are lukewarm, and so if the church is in a condition of lukewarmness, where the things that we are looking at, we are not really, we're not really interested. I mean, we don't mind the entertainment value of it. We don't mind coming to church. We don't mind identifying ourselves as a believer, as a Christian. But it's not that we are really interested in being disciples. And when I'm not interested in being a disciple, Satan comes, and even the thing that I have, he steals that from me, so I walk around with a label, but yet there is no power thereof. Are you with me? Is that true? And so, when we come together, and then we say, okay, well, you know, what we need the right person in office, so let's pray about the right person in office. But you have people that are coming together, or if you have people that come together, that is, they are not really interested in truth. They're just looking at the value and entertainment value. Then there is no change. Who's supposed to be the right president for this country? Don't answer. Who is supposed to be the right president for this country? Well, listen. The Bible says that God sets up and takes down. So whose hands is it really in to get the right person in office? It's not God's. It's not God's. It's whose hands is it in? It's not God's. Who is our? The church. The church. Right? It's the church who has the authority. All power and authority Jesus has in heaven and in earth, it was given, he says, it's given to me. Now you go, the church. Let them, who? The church, have dominion. Who? You and me. It's not the guy that's in the office. It's the guy that's in the pew. That's you. It's us. Say yes. You know, when the righteous are in office, everybody prospers. And who, Lord, I know. I've gone in another direction. I know. But we have an election coming up, so it's worth mentioning. You know, see now, I don't dare tell you who to vote for. I would tell you, just go ahead and vote your values. Now, whatever your values are, you are going to vote anyway. You will vote your values. You have a responsibility to vote. You go out and you vote. But don't vote without putting God's will and purpose into effect. See, now I know sometimes it's hard. You sit down and you try to scrutinize and evaluate, and then you can make a list and you can see this candidate, and you see all the wrong things, and you can see some right things. And then you get the other candidate, and you see some wrong things, and you see some right things, and then you say, well, I don't know which one to vote for, because now which one of those right and wrong things are more important? Don't be afraid. Do you lack wisdom? Ask God. He will give you without rebuking you for asking. Just ask in faith, nothing wavering. He will direct you and guide you. But now, be careful what you vote for. Make sure you vote for God's purpose, not yours. Because your purpose might not be in line with what God with what God is stating. You know, I'm sorry I didn't really get to my message.